We're continuing this morning in a series called Fight Back. And the idea is that the very best things in life cannot be bought, but they will have to be fought for. We talked about your personal identity and that Satan does indeed exist and prowl to devour your sense of self-worth and identity and who you are. We talked about friendship last week, that the difference between cowards and courage. And today I want to talk about marriage. Because I see way too many marriages dissolving for reasons that really don't hold up over time. I have a real pet peeve about marriage, and here it is. I'll just lay it out for you. And let me also say this today. This is from a man's perspective, and there are exceptions. There are slight exceptions to some of what I'm going to say. So, just get myself out of a sling before I'm... put myself in it. But here is where I get upset about marriage. In America, we are preoccupied with getting married, and we place almost no emphasis on being married. We will spend tens of thousands of dollars. The average wedding in America costs over $30,000. And people ask me to marry them all the time, and I'm happy to do it. I enjoy doing it. But when we talk about premarital counseling or any cost that they may incur in premarital counseling, it's like, oh, well, you know what, we don't have time. And I say, you know what, dude, you get what you pay for. Getting married and spending all this money and putting all the emphasis of getting to the altar is, and I love you with all of my heart, is stupid. Because you're playing with something that God takes very, very seriously. All right, that's my horse. I'm off of that one. Let's go to the happy place, okay? This is what I believe. Now, again, I'm speaking from a man's perspective, and so I'm going to go on and just do my thing. I believe it takes a woman to make a boy a man. I do believe that. I believe that God created a man and a woman to complete what is lacking in each other. And here is my basis for that conviction. Now, the Lord God formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was his name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and the beasts of the field. And then there's a period. Then it says, but for Adam, no suitable helper was what? All right, so the question I have is, how long a period is it before the word field and the word but? I would submit we could reasonably surmise as much as 50 to 100 years. I mean, think about it. Adam sees something crawling across the ground. He doesn't say, gecko, 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 that's a gecko. He looks at it. He has to follow it. He has to, well, you know, okay, what are its traits? What does it do? I mean, do you think the first time that Adam saw an elephant coming down the road and said, elephant, elephant, that's it. I had to all the time write it down. No. He had to think, he had to ponder. I mean, it took a long, long, long time. Can we at least agree on that? A long time. At least years and years. And in the naming of the animals, don't you think that he took in account the characteristics? Dog. Didn't the dog look like a dog? Didn't that a good name for a dog? Dog. Cat. That's a good name for that. Cat. When I say cat, I have a certain feeling. When I say dog, I have a certain, what? When I say dog, I have a certain feeling. I mean, so he took this seriously, okay? And so as he's inspecting and looking, it says that he found nothing suitable for him. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, closed up the place of the flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib that he had taken from out of man and brought her to the man. The man said, This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man. For here it is, for this reason. Now ask yourself, where does that prepositional phrase refer to? It refers to some place in the past, and I think it refers back up to, but for Adam didn't find a suitable helper, and for this reason God created a woman. And a man shall leave his father and mother and be glued. The idea of united there means to be bonded to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. The man and the woman were both naked, and they felt no shame. In other words, they were naked and didn't immediately want to have sex. So here's what I want to say. Again, I know I'm an older guy and all the rest of that, but you can just trust me or not. Sex is way overrated. It really is. Now, sex is great. I'm all for it. But, you know, I got my other pastors across the country who do 6 weeks on sex. And, you know, I know there's a buddy of mine down in Texas did a thing. He appeared on Comedy Central because, you know, he wanted everybody to have sex for 12 days. Why is that such a big event? Seriously, come on. Oh, come on. Sex is way overrated. We are told that sex is everything, and it is not. We have believed the lie. It's a good thing. It's a God thing. It's a wonderful thing. Yay, God, you did good. But you know what? It's not the only thing. Trust me. When you get married, I know it's going to break your heart, but you want to spend a whole lot more time not having sex than having it. As a matter of fact, you're going to spend more time thinking about having it than having it, or talking about having it than having it. Come on, somebody say amen. Thank you. Come on. Seriously. Let's grow up. So Adam and Eve were naked and they didn't feel any shame. So here is, there are two points I want to make. I really do believe that it takes a woman to bring out everything it means to be a man. I mean, the scriptures are clear. I was incomplete without her, and now he has created a helper equal to the task. Formidable, right? I don't want to marry some wimpy woman. I don't want to marry some, oh, you're so special, you're so wonderful, just let me lick your feet. No, 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 no. I want a woman. I want somebody with a backbone and I want somebody sassy and saucy and sexy and that'd be quite enough right there. I'm done. Right? But let me say this to the men among us, because I'm going to be speaking a lot to the women. There are four things that women want. I know, it's hard to believe, but I know exactly what women want. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Trust me. I know what women want. And you just see if you agree with me. Last service, we got along perfectly well after I said this. At least the women did. Guys, here's what women want. One, they want to be wooed. They want to be wooed, courted. They want to be emailed, texted, Twitter, they want to be wooed. And wooing's going to cost you money. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. They want to be wooed, courted, sparked. I mean, call it whatever you want to be. They want a period of time to court you. And they want you to court them. They want you to pursue them. Now, if they say, stay away, don't pursue them. That's not code for try a little harder. It's stay away. I don't like you. Die. Can I hear an amen? Woo. They want to be wooed. They want to be won. They want to be wooed. They want to be won. Their love has to be won. Why not? They want to be wooed. They want to be won. And ladies, here's the deal. Whatever your man wins you with, he'll try to keep you with. And if he wins you with sex, he thinks it's his hot body that's going to keep you. And he's deluded. He's an idiot, but he's a man. Can I hear an amen? I feel sorry for him. Women want to be wooed, they want to be won, and they want to be wed. Guys, no adult woman wants to be your friend for the next 36 months. They want to define the relationship. Either get in, marry them, or get out. Go on. Get away from me. I do not have time. Now, you can look at me like you want to, but this is true. They want to be
wooed. They want to be won. They want to be wed. And then after you win, after you get them down the altar, it's over. You got them. You can get a big beer gut, lazy boy, and I mean she's in now. She's trapped, right? Not so much. A woman wants to be wooed. She wants to be won. She wants to be wed, and she wants to be wowed. This is why I try to treat my wife like I treated her when we were courting. As a matter of fact, I treat my wife much better today than I did when we were courting because she has had so much more time training me how to treat her. And ladies, train him how to treat you. You call your wife your old lady, I hope your hair falls out and something falls off. She wants to be wooed, she wants to be won, she wants to be wed, she wants to be wowed. I open the door for my wife for 37 years. I do everything I can humanly possible to try to be a man worthy of her love. To me, that translates in being a man of God because I can't be right with God and not right with my wife. I just can't. It's just impossible. So enough said for, you know, you can take that and do, you know, if you disagree with me, then you come up with your own list. But I think that's a pretty good one. And I put it together from the fact that I've been married all my adult life. I have 3 grown adult daughters, and I have counseled with Paul and I with hundreds and hundreds of couples. And I have found that to be almost resolute. And anytime a woman compromises any one of those 4 things for just to get married, they regret it almost every single time. If he's not willing to woo you and win you and wed you and wow you, just keep right on walking. He is definitely Mr. Right now, not Mr. Right. And also, let me just get this off of my heart. The next time you tell me you want to marry a guy because he's sweet, I'm going to slap you in my heart. Because I know I can't physically, because that would not be nice. But I just want to say, wake up, sweet. A cinnamon rose, sweet. Do you want to marry it? No. No, 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 no. All right, sorry. Okay. Whew, sorry. Just got that off my chest, and hopefully that helps. So you're going to have to fight for your marriage. What is it? Here's how I put it. There are 6 sides of a he it takes a she to show. There are 6 sides of a he it takes a she to show. Number 1, for the love of my wife, I've dedicated myself to at least attempt to be her knight in shining armor. Now, my armor gets rusty really quickly, but I try to be her knight in shining armor. Listen to how the scriptures put it. In the same way, you husbands must give what to your wives? Honor. It doesn't say honor to the women you're dating. They're on Facebook. It says honor to your what? Wife. Not honor to your wife, honor to my wife. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are. Well, she is weaker than I am. I dare to do this because last service it did not go well. But I'm a glutton for punishment. How many of you know, have you ever seen a beautiful crystal goblet? It's fragile. It's crystal. It's gorgeous. It's unique. It's one of a kind. It's handmade. And then a peanut butter jar? Which is more valuable? The goblet. Which is weaker? The goblet. And the weakness, the intricacy of it is a part of its value. Just because a thing is weaker doesn't mean it is less precious. As a matter of fact, many things that are weaker and fragile. I mean, do you have stuff in your home that you put up from, you know, so your kids and your husband can't get a hold of it? huh? Because they'll break it. All right. So this is the point, inferior, because listen to what it says. She may be weaker, but she is your blank partner in God's gift. What? Equal. You equally love her. She equally loves you. The Bible says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, but it also says, wives, die for your wives. So who's paying the higher price? So bottom line is this, is I want to be Paula's knight in shining armor. I want to honor her. I do not call her my old lady. I do not refer to her, and I'm very serious, in any derogatory way. I do not criticize my wife. Anything that I have about my wife that's worth criticizing, I talk to God about it, and we try to talk to each other about it. I do not ever, ever turn to another woman to help me understand my wife. Thank you very much. That leads to no good place. And you can clap. Absolutely. Come on. Let me have it, baby, because I'm smoking. It's at least hot up here. I can tell you that. All right, I want to be her knight in shining armor. Here's the second thing that a good woman brings out of a good man, is I want to be her dragon slayer. Rah! We may have the best crop of young communicators in the Church of Jesus Christ in America we've had in a very long time. But I still believe this, as gifted as some of these guys and ladies are, you can be young and be smart, but you cannot be young and be wise. Some of these people say some of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Young speakers, speaking for God, trying to inspire people to live the life God created them, would get up and say, I hate cats. Well, why would you do that? I don't hate cats. And even if I did, there are a lot of people who love cats. There are people who don't like dogs. I like dogs. Some people like dogs. What's wrong? Get up and say, I hate cats. That's stupid. If he did it to me, I'd slap him. No, you wouldn't. You'd go to jail. You're not going to slap people. That's not a good testimony. Right? Pastor of the gathering, in jail, slap Bubba. No. This is not a good thing. But there's one thing that I hear this young guy listen to say, man, you break into my house, you come back to me, you're dead. And you know, that's one thing I do agree with. You come into my home after my family, I'm going to kill you. And you know what? The great thing about it is I'm going to kill you and you won't be able to sue me. And no one will arrest me. I was at the FBI a couple of years ago, true story, at the training center. Training is a shooting. Ain't no hair on the store. Sounds like I made it up. I was at the FBI here in TBI. And was shooting. And I'd always heard, you know, people, if someone breaks in your home, you know, you can't do anything. You know, they'll arrest you. I asked a guy, the agent who was training me, I said, hey, this guy, what's the deal? A guy breaks in my house, threatens my family. What I got to do? He said, kill him. I said, any other advice? He said, no, don't wound them. They'll sue you. Just kill them. Okay. All right. It's all the information I needed to know. But you know, I found that there are very few times in my married life of 37 years people have broken into my home and threatened my family. As a matter of fact, none. But there are a lot of dragons out there that can attack my wife. The dragon of popular opinion and the effort to try to turn her as a woman into a thing. I mean, there are a lot of dragons out there. I try to get in between as my woman's man, in between her and anything that would hurt her. I've gotten in between my wife and her parents. Not often, but some. I will get in between anyone who attacks her, or I think does, and we'll just let God sort it out at the end. Amen? Because at the end of the day, I just got to tell you, when they put me in the ground, it's going to be my wife looking over the hole. Oh, y'all going to be too busy. They buried him on a Thursday. Should have buried him on a Sunday. I go to church on Sunday, and I would have seen him then, but it's on a Thursday, and I got to work. Bunch of lowlifes. But my wife will take off work and come to bury me. So I'd like her to like me. I will be her knight in shining armor. I will be her dragon's slayer. I also want to be her stormtrooper. When I was a boy, we played army. Anybody else here play army? I was raised in programs like combat. Anybody remember? I know it makes me old, but combat and rawhide. And, you know, we'd go out and play army men. And I always wondered, why is it little boys like to play with guns? Well, because, you know, we're warriors at our heart. We were created by our God to protect something of value and significance. And I want to make sure that my woman knows that I am there for the long haul. And whatever storms may come our way, and they have, and they will for you, I will not cut and run at the sign of trouble. That I'm going to stay solid and hung in. I'm going to be with her through the storms. I've been with her through her storms, and God knows she's been with me through mine. I love what the scriptures say. Why is God judging us? Israel is calling out, and God says, here it is. It's because you are acting as a witness between you and your wife, the wife of your youth, because you have broken faith with her. She is your partner. The wife of your marriage, what? Covenant. Marriage is not a civil union. Marriage is not a contract. Marriage is a covenant. It is bound together by love and sealed and verified by God, the Holy Spirit. And anything that God joins together, you had better pray about ripping apart. As a matter of fact, when the scriptures tell us that we are literally joined and become one flesh, it means that I have seen the pain that divorce causes. What does the Bible say? Right down here, guard yourself, guard your spirit. Do not break faith with the wife of your youth. I hate divorced people, says the Lord. No. But that's what we think, isn't it? That's what we've heard, and that's what we read, and that's what we think. God doesn't hate divorced people. He hates divorce because of what it does to the people that he loves. I had people say to me, I just want to think. You know, the great thing about people, they're all dumb and messed up in basically the same way, no matter how much money and education they have. It makes it a lot easier for me. Because I've gotten good at spotting stupid. Now, I'm just going to say, this is not bragging. I am not a dumb guy. But I do often act stupidly. Romans 7 is my only claim of justification when Paul said the same thing about himself. But people really say the dumbest things. I've heard people go through divorce. How are the kids? They're just doing great. You are a liar. And the person you're lying to is yourself. I've tried to tell people, no. Oh, yeah, they're doing great. You don't understand. And then a year later, 2 years later, they come back and say, you know what? My kids hate my guts. It is so predictable. So here's what I want to be. I don't want to be remembered by my children for what it took to get me to leave their mother, but what we were able to stand by each other through. The storm is coming. You either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or going into one. Aren't you glad you came today? And you need each other. You were made to support one another through that storm. I want to be her knight in shining armor. I want to be her dragon slayer to get between anything that would harm her. I want to be her storm trooper. And I want to be her generous provider. The ladies, like it or not, here's how God made us. He made us to go out, hunt it, kill it, clean it, drag it in, and you cook it. That's in the Bible somewhere. I'm sure it's got to be there somewhere. You say, I'll microwave it, but I'm not cooking it. I don't blame you. Yeah, I don't. But you understand that the hunter instinct in us is not a product of the evolution of our species. It is a part of how God created us to be the provider for our family. And if that is not true, why would the scripture say this? Anyone who doesn't provide for his relatives, especially for his immediate family, has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I mean, that's scathing. That's not kind. That's not clean. That's not timely. I mean, that hurts. And I want to be a provider for my family. And I want, means God created me to work. And I love working. I love getting, I'm glad I got a job. I'm glad that I'm useful. And I love working. I met people who don't like to work. You need to wake up, dude. You know, I have people who, you know, I'm going to retire. Really? Retire? Retire to do what? To move to Florida and search for a self-serve yogurt? Is that your job? I'm going to work all my life and leave my family? No. I want to work and be useful, and then I want to die. How about you? Don't want to hang around. I see so many people who linger for a very long time, and you know, it's obviously not their choice. It's just simply the way their sickness works out. But I have to tell you, every day that I live, no matter how old I get, I want to be productive. How about you? I want to provide for my wife. I want to provide for my family. And that is a part of me. And when I'm not, ladies, when your husband is not being able to provide for you the way he wants to, it grieves him, and you should not discount the pain that causes. Be there. Comfort him. Understand that he wants to provide for you. If he's going through a period of unemployment or transition, it affects him. You can say, well, I don't care, but it matters to him. Amen? And be sensitive to that. Don't discount it. That was free. I'm not going to charge anything for that. Here's number five. All for the love of a good woman, I want to be a careful castle builder. Have you ever heard the statement, you can begin again? But who wants to about six or seven times? At some point, starting over is depressing. At some point, you want to build a foundation and start building on that foundation. I mean, is there anything about our spiritual lives and our lives on earth that God uses that description to describe? And the answer would be absolutely. That Christ is our foundation and we build. I want to be a careful castle builder. I want to provide a secure, safe home for my wife. A place that no one can get at her and no other woman will ever penetrate. Not even my mother, who will be here next weekend, and I expect y'all to behave. Don't tell her anything about my past. She doesn't know. Yeah, right. You see, my job is to provide that safe, secure environment. It's my wife's God-given right to decorate it. You see, a man buys a home to habitate. A woman buys a home to decorate. And a part of her making a home is making it distinctively hers. And men, you ought to honor that. You ought to honor that nesting part of how God made your wife. And if she wants to paint it, paint it. It's paint. Paint it. Gee whiz. Well, what color should I paint it? Well, dummy, paint it the color she chooses. Can I hear an amen? I mean, my wife is an awesome lady. She'll come to me and say, well, do you like any of those ones? Yeah. How many shades of white are there? 75,000. That's only at Lowe's. I don't care. I'll just paint it whatever color you want. Because it's her home and she's nesting. I want to make sure that my wife and my children have a strong foundation under them. I want to build a strong strong castle where they can come and retreat, where they can come and be themselves, where they can come and literally let their hair down and not have to wear makeup and make anyone think they're beautiful because they already are assured that they are. That's good. Thank you, Dave. All right. That's all right. Don't you clap. I'm clapping. That's good. All right. Here's my last one. Here it is. Not only do I want to be a knight in shining armor, not only do I want to be a dragon's slayer and a stormtrooper and a generous provider and a careful castle builder, I want my wife to know, God being my helper, that I will be a single-minded, one-woman man. Amen? I'm a one-woman man. And I have been accused of many things in my life, but I am very proud, and I say this hopefully in a humble way, I've never been accused of being anything other but slap dab all the way, head over heels, stupid in love with my wife. I have been criticized because I don't put myself in situations where my mind or my heart could be swayed or strayed or even accused of it, and that's okay with me. I don't counsel other people of the opposite sex, not because they're not worth counseling, and because, you know what, I am a one-woman man. I want her to know that. I want my daughters to know that. And I want them to settle for nothing less than a one-woman man for themselves. And men, you owe your wife your single devotion. Well, you know what? She just doesn't give me sex. Well, grow up. Just grow one. Grow up. Just be a man. Suck it up. Come up to the table. You're not going to die. I just got to have sex. No, you don't. Grow up. I'm a guy. I eat red meat. This whole overemphasis of, well, I just, you know, here's where you will, if you allow yourself, open yourself up for comfort for someone else. And ladies, also, let me just be honest and say this. If you don't pay attention to your husband, some other woman will. Yeah, but look at him. I don't care. There is no, come on, am I right? There is no accounting for taste. Man, I see some good-looking women with men. I'm thinking they need LASIK surgery. Have you ever heard this phrase, love is... Yep, that sure is true, man. I'll just tell you right now. I'm just telling you, if you don't pay attention to him, someone else will. Pay so much attention to him that he would never, ever, ever want to stray. But even if you don't, guys, there is no excuse for finding comfort, emotional or sexual, in the arms of another woman who is not your wife. When Paul talked to this young pastor named Titus, he said, I have come through your region to set the church in order. And he says, of all the men who are going to lead this journey, I want them to be the husband of but one wife, literally a one-woman man. I'm not married and then have a girlfriend on the side, or I'm not married and I have an account at XXXXRUS, sweetheart, baby, honeybun.com. I am a one-woman man. I respect women. I honor women. I open the door for women. But there ain't no woman like my woman. And I don't mean mine in a sense of possession. I mean mine in the sense of dead gummit. I wooed her. I won her. I wed her. And I wow her. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you. And we are humbled that you would love us so much to create marriage, to create for us a soulmate, Someone who would walk with us and complete us and love us and care for us. Someone that we can go through the best of life and the worst of life with and love all of life together. Father, I pray for someone in this room whose marriage is in trouble. I pray that you will rescue it, that a good man would step up in that family and say, I will be a good man, a godly man, and I will be a one-woman man. I will be a knight in shining armor. I will provide for my family and keep them safe and protect them. I will be the man of God that God created me to be. Father, I pray you'll save our marriages. Our country is decimated, not because of bad government, but because our families are falling apart. I pray in Jesus' name you will rescue us, that you will create within us a hunger for our families, a hunger for a man to his wife, a hunger for his wife to her husband, a hunger for parents to their children. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. God bless you. Go get them.